For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany Hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you could also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
They're scared to talk about their real beliefs because they believe it could come back to hurt them in their classrooms, in their jobs. That's how divided America is right now.
So the idea is not that abortion is the only issue that matters, but there can be issues, including abortion or slavery and other things, that might disqualify a candidate from getting your vote.
So how can you make sure that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds on the great scales? You can do the greatest good deed of all, and that is, by Muhammad's own words, jihad.
Our prince is not one of the candidates for president. Our prince is the one who is feeding us food that is eternal food for a life that never ends.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
We hear this all the time, usually from people who don't know much about any particular religion, that all religions are essentially the same. They all have the same message. They all have the same basic moral code. There's not really that big of a difference between Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam or Judaism or even any of the other more exotic religions. Why do people want to believe that? Why do they want to believe that all religions are saying the same thing? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about that very question and refuting the notion that all religions say the same thing, in particular, Christianity as well. Craig Parton will be our guest. He's author of a chapter in our new book, Objections Overruled. A little bit later, Pastor Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us for the conclusion of our series, Things We See in Church. Today, we'll talk about church vestments and the paraments. Craig Parton joins us to begin our series, Answering Arguments Against Christianity Today, the argument that all religions are saying the same thing. He's an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author of a chapter in our book, Objections Overruled. Craig, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Pleasure to be back.
Why do people want all religions to be basically the same thing?
I think there's three reasons, Todd. I think, first, people ultimately don't want to have any consequences for whatever they decide concerning religious options. I think, second, that by believing that all religions are saying the same thing, it promotes the universal value in our culture of tolerance. You tolerate that, you can tolerate a religion that really is like all other religions. What you can't tolerate is a religion that says it has exclusive domain on truth as to salvation. And so I think it supports that cultural value of tolerance. And third, I think it promotes and supports the blessed concept that everybody is charged about all the time of spirituality versus being religious. People don't want to be told that they have got the wrong religion. They simply say, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. And this is supposed to be a big draw for people, that they can practice their spirituality without any hang-ups from religion. And so why do people want all religions basically to say the same thing? Well, first of all, I'd say, why do skeptics or people not in a religious position want them to all be saying the same thing? Because they want to reduce all religions to their common denominator. And to them, that common denominator is faith or love. If you have faith or love, whoopee, you're fine, you're going to be happy. There's no ultimate consequence to what you believe. And as long as you have faith as an undefined amorphous blob. Faith in what is never really discussed. It's just, I'm a person of faith, you're fine. So any distinctions between religions that they're fundamentally incompatible doesn't stand up, isn't tolerated, isn't considered to be loving. And ultimately, people realize that they've got to take a deeper step and look at what religions are actually teaching, and they don't want to do that.
You say that the incompatibility of world religions is logical, not sociological. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think of Edgar Sheffield Brightman, a theologian in the last century, said that any religion or philosophy that believes that Christian Science and Roman Catholicism are saying the same thing is involved in being in a cosmic madhouse. The differences in the world religions and cults and sects today is a logical incompatibility, not sociological, because you can find common practices within different religions. Different religions have a priestly class, they do sacrifices, they do pilgrimages, the Mormons do baptisms, Eastern mystics have monasteries, as do Roman Catholics. If you look at practices, you can find common practices in the world religions. But if you look at their teachings, their fundamental teachings, you'll soon find out that they cannot be harmonized. And the incompatibility is a logical incompatibility. Christian Science and Roman Catholicism cannot both be true. If they were both true, we would live in what Brightman called the cosmic madhouse. So this requires us to dig deeper into what the religions of the world actually teach. And to do that takes some effort, but it's a critically important endeavor.
How are the various views of God among the world religions incompatible, especially with Christianity?
Well, you just go through the alphabet. Start with atheism, or start with agnosticism, which is we can't know whether there is a God. Move then to atheism, there is no God. Move then to polytheism, which there are many gods. Then keep moving to pantheism, which is God is everything and one with everything, including you and the nature and the tree. And then move on to other options, theism, which is that God created the world but stands separate from the world. But then you have Christianity, which is God not only created the world and stands separate from it, but entered human history in the person of Jesus Christ to do for man what he could not do for himself. So those options, again, if they're all true, we're in a cosmic madhouse. Now, they may all be false, but they can't all be true in the same way. There can't be, atheism can't be true and Christianity be true in the same time. So these views are incompatible, and they force people to go to the next step to ask the question, which religious positions ask to be checked out by evidence? And that narrows the scope dramatically, because most religions don't really rely on evidence for holding to their tenets. They just say, try it, and you'll find out that it fits with your psychosocial needs, etc. But very few religions, in fact, Christianity being the only one, that says if a certain historical event didn't occur, it's false. And that's Christianity's dramatic claim, that if the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not occur, it is a pernicious religion that should be completely stayed away from, disavowed, and people should get on their merry way, for eat, drink, for tomorrow you die. So the compatibility of the world's religions on the views of God are utterly incompatible.
What about the views of man? How do they contradict one another?
The religions of the world basically hold that man is essentially good and getting better, and man is on a quest up to God in some way. Except for Christianity, which explains, and Luther explained this brilliantly, that there are really two religions in the world. All the religions in the world are man's efforts to reach up to God and Christianity is very different from that. It's God reaching down to man to do for man what he could not possibly do on his own. So the nature of man in Christianity is that he's fallen, he's deeply infected, and is in need of a total rescue. That does not mean that man does only evil deeds. He can do civic good. He can find cures for cancer. He can help with various sociological problems, can help homeless people, help little old ladies across the street. It's just that none of these activities change the fundamental nature of man, which is, Christianity is very clear on this, is a fallen creature who violates in thought, word, and deed God's commandments day and night and needs a complete rescue in order to have that taken care of. What you have in other religions is this capability that man is given to find enlightenment in Buddhism, find peace and inner understanding and intellectual enlightenment in other cultic experiences. And Christianity comes along and says, fundamentally, you've misunderstood who man is. He's the glorious creature created in the image of God, but fundamentally infected.
How do various religions explain evil?
That is a widely variety of positions by different religious options. Christian Science, for example, which I was raised in for the first 18 years before I became a Christian at the university, says that evil is essentially an illusion and that you can escape it by right thinking, which is really a fundamental Eastern concept. You get this in Taoism and Confucianism, that evil is something that man can transcend and can deal with on his own. Whereas in Christianity, evil is very real. It's not created by the Creator. It's not fundamental to the creation of the universe. It has been imported in by the rebellion of man, and as a result can only be answered by God himself intervening in the situation for a total rescue. But other religions hold that it's essentially something that can be dealt with through right thinking, through motivation, through doing good deeds, whatever it may happen to be, Mormonism, Islam, Christian Science, Zoroastrianism, Taoism, Confucianism, they all have a similar view of the ability of man to find spiritual enlightenment. And Christianity says that that is a fundamentally flawed view. Evil is got to be dealt with. It reflects itself every day in man's rebellious nature. As Chesterton said, the humanist is disappointed every morning when he opens the morning paper to see how far man can fall, how low man can do and go, whereas the Christian believer who understands the nature of man is never surprised at how bad man can be, never shocked, because we know our own sinful condition and our need of repentance.
Craig Parton is our guest. He's author of a chapter in our new book, Objections Overruled. We're beginning a series answering arguments against Christianity. The argument today is religions are all saying the same thing. We'll talk about a Christian view of history contrasted with other world religions next.
No one is going to lose their soul.
For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues, Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're starting a new series, and we're kicking it off with Craig Parton. The series is Answering Arguments Against Christianity Today, the argument that religions are all saying the same thing. Craig is author of a chapter in our new book called Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity. We're very excited. This is our very first book, and I'm very excited by the list and stable of authors that helped us with this book. Craig Parton, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Dr. Paul Meyer, Dr. Corey Moss, Dr. Adam Francisco, Mark Pearson, Angus Manouge, Alvin Schmidt, John Bombaro, and Kirk Clayton. There are 10 chapters there answering the common objections and arguments that you will hear against Christianity. And those 10 apologists write at a level that anyone can understand, even me. We'll send you Objections Overruled and a recording of 15 Epiphany hymns for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $250 to Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can call Lynn, and she'll give you some help with that year-end donation, 618-223-8385. Craig, what's the Christian view of history as contrasted with the view of other world religions?
Essentially, in other religions, you have, especially in Greek and Eastern religions, the concept of history as an eternally repeating cycle. The illustrations of this can be found in Hinduism and Buddhism, which are largely indifferent to how individuals fare in the whole situation, and that the world is an illusion, Maya, that needs to be transcended. And you can do that by going through the karmic cycle and breaking out of it through reincarnation and other activities. Whereas the Christian view of history is not that history is eternally repeating itself in a cycle, going nowhere, but history is linear. It focuses on the past coming of Christ and his death for the sins of the world, and also promises an end to history where Christ will return to judge both the quick and the dead and transform this world to his everlasting kingdom. So once again, it's completely different than Greek and Roman views of history, and particularly Eastern cyclical views. They can't both be right.
What about authority? How would you contrast the views of authority among the religions?
They're wildly inconsistent. This is the theme of what we're talking about, is people think all religions are saying the same thing. Inevitably, they haven't studied any of them, because all it would take is opening up the Quran and comparing it to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, and you'd see that there's wildly, radically different views on which religions depend for their authority. For Mormons, it's the Book of Mormon. For Islam, it's the Quran. For Christian Scientists, it's the Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures. For Judaism, it's the Old Testament. And for Christianity, it's the Old and New Testament. And the real question is, which authority is definitive? Just citing the Bible to somebody and saying it's because the Bible says it, therefore I believe it, and that settles it, doesn't settle it. You have people with all kinds of different views. You have Marxists and communists who believe that Stalin and Lenin and Das Kapital is their authority for how to understand the world. The authorities are radically different and hold radically different approaches to mankind, evil, and all the topics, history, and et cetera, that we've been talking about today. So if you want an experience of real shock, open up The Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy and compare it to some of the writings of Muhammad in the Quran, miles apart, and then compare them to the New Testament teachings of Jesus. Tell me what compatibility you can find. Precious little. Even the similarities in things like the Golden Rule, the motivation for doing those things in Christianity is not to merit salvation or transcend this world, but is a recognition that we don't follow the Golden Rule and that we need it should drive us to repentance and trust in what God has done for us at the cross of Christ.
Ethics and morality are one area where people who assert that all religions are the same kind of take their last stand. We all have the same basic ethics in every religion. How do you respond?
Islam has the ethic that a man may marry up to four wives, and his wife is property, and can be divorced with the simple talaq statement in Surah 65. How is that compatible with Christianity when you have statements such as Christ commands that a man marry one woman and love her as Christ loved the church in Ephesians 5:25? Radically different ethics and morality between Islam and their view of women and sexuality in general from historic Christianity. And the same in the ethics of Buddhism. If you think Buddhism is tolerant of all different religions, don't watch the film The Silence by Martin Scorsese, which talks about some experiences that Christian missionaries had in Japan in the 17th century. There wasn't tolerance for that position. And the ethics and morality of Buddhism has come under increasing scrutiny when you had Japanese kamikaze pilots who were Buddhists having no problem whatsoever sacrificing their lives in the killing of innocent people, running their planes into civilian areas with no problem whatsoever the ethic involved in it. So Christianity is completely different in terms of also the motivation to act ethically. That motivation in Islam and Mormonism is to merit salvation by following the rule book. Christianity says that is a hopeless case, that actually things like the Ten Commandments were given to show how needy you are for salvation outside of you. And that is a completely different approach to wanting to act morally, to leverage God to deal kindly with you versus understanding that the law was given first to show us our need for repentance and trust in Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross for us.
You say that the greatest difference between Christianity and all other religions is the view of salvation. What do you mean by that?
Well, we've kind of talked about it here in terms of the absolute difference that Christianity has, that it's salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, based on what Christ has done alone, versus every other religion in the world, which, as Luther said, reaches up to God. The great book on this is Agape and Eros, a terrific book by a theologian 100 years ago that talks about Anders Nygren, that talks about the world religion's efforts to merit salvation and how this is absolutely impossible to do. And only Christianity has a realistic view of mankind, has a realistic view of mankind's ability to merit salvation, that we are ultimately people who hold others to an A standard but hold ourselves to a D plus. As long as we're acting in a D plus manner, we've got leverage with God in terms of our ultimate salvation. But others have to treat us at an A plus standard, or we'll notice their hypocrisy in a nanosecond. Christianity's view, as explained in the scriptures and numerous places, Romans in particular, is that our human condition required an absolute rescue from the outside and required God to deal with what we could never deal with on our own. And that's the fundamental teaching of Christianity, that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, that God is not only alive and active, but has spoken in his written word to us, and most importantly, has entered our human condition to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. So by Christ's perfect life and atoning death, salvation is made available freely to everybody, to all mankind. And Christ did this and entered history to accomplish by his death and resurrection a salvation which is incomplete without his personal involvement in, as a historic figure and historic resurrection grounded in solid evidential fact. And it's fascinating to me that world religions in general don't have facts to check out. You ask a Mormon, how can I check out your religious position to determine whether it's true or not? And they'll talk about the burning in the bosom. That if you come along to the Mormon position, you'll find a burning in your bosom. I suggest you run as fast as you can the other way when that's the position given to you. You should be able to check out through the historical records whether the factual claims of a religion, if they make any, should be able to check them out like you check out any other fact of history. And that's precisely what Christianity and the resurrection do. This is what was preached by the first disciples of Christ and the apostles, always based everything on the facticity of the resurrection. If it didn't occur, we are of most to be pitied. We followed a false religion and are leading others astray. But they constantly prove back, and Paul does this in Acts 26 with Festus and Agrippa, you know this didn't happen in a corner. Other religions are done in a corner. People get private revelation, and there's no way to contradict it without getting into the religion and finding out whether it's true or not. But if you jump into a religion to test it by seeing whether it's true or not, by joining it and applying its principles, you may be so psychologically scarred by this process that you wouldn't know truth if it had a sign hanging on it. So my recommendation is, when somebody comes knocking on your door with an alternative religious position, ask them, you'd like to know how their religion is disproved. How would I disprove your religion? What would have to exist for your religion to be false? If they can't answer it, move on. The answer of Christianity, of course, is if the resurrection didn't occur, Christianity is disproven.
Finally, then, as you said before, why is it true that all the world's religions, including Christianity, could be false, but they can't all be true?
Well, that's the conundrum. What we've established here, hopefully, is that they can't all possibly be true, but they could all be false. Just because all the world religions are at their fundamental level, when they teach about salvation, contradict one another, doesn't mean that Christianity is true. you still have to check out the truth claims, because Christianity could be false also, along with all the rest of the world religions that can't be checked out by factual inquiry. So just because Christianity makes claims doesn't mean it's true. You've got to check them out and verify them. And that's what it actually welcomes people to do. It's a faith founded on fact, as a book by somebody who's on your show quite a bit wrote. And that still is the greatest recommendation that I can give to people, is look for the facts for a religious position, check them out, and get yourself aligned with the facts of a religious position, and know how that position could be verified or falsified. If there's no reason to falsify the religion, no basis to falsify the religion you're involved in, my recommendation is get the heck out and check out Christianity, which clearly asks for people to investigate its central historical claim of the resurrection.
Craig Parton is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California. He's United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of a chapter in our new book, Objections Overruled. Craig, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd. My pleasure.
We'll be concluding our series, Things We See in Church. We'll be talking about those vestments you see your pastor and others wearing on Sunday morning, and the paraments on the altar and the pulpit and the lectern, with Pastor Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, right after this. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
At Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia, you will hear God's Word faithfully preached every Sunday. We invite you to join our growing family of believers this week and every week for Education Hour beginning at 9 a.m., followed by Divine Worship at 10 a.m. For more information, find us on the web at oursavior-lcms.org. That's oursavior-lcms.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.